Dell, let's play this because Phil Garner is on hold right now. And we played this for him when he was going to the World Series. It didn't work. But that's not on the song, though. It's certainly not on the song.
Who's it on, then?
Well, I think it was on Gar. If you want to,
you're blaming him?
No. I'm blaming... You know, let's talk about that. We're bringing Phil Garner right now on ESPN 97.5. Gar, what's up?
Good morning, John.
How are you?
Okay, remember, I have the power of the finger here. I can just click you guys off and blame that on me.
No, okay, so let's go back. I'm convinced, Gar, that I don't know. Having to go back to St. Louis and using Roy because of the Pujols home run, which is forever in Astros lore, that if you had Roy for game one, it might have been a totally different series.
Of course, it makes for a nice conversation over a beer at a bar, but I don't know. I think when it's over and said and done, I think that maybe sometimes there's something with baseball gods. It just wasn't in the cards for us, perhaps. But our guys played well. They played slightly better, and it showed in a very close World Series.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to be for us.
Yeah. We got Phil Garner hanging out with us, with John and Raheel. What kind of distractions come with the World Series? Just getting the guys ready, you know, media obligations, tickets, all that. What's that like?
Well, it's a lot of work. And as you know, most of the players don't relish the idea of standing in front of the press corps every day. It's just not their thing, you know. Almost all of them, prefer to be on the field and playing. So one of the things about it is kind of relaxing when you finally get on the field and the game starts, because there is a lot of excitement in the air. The first time I was in a playoff situation, I was with the Oakland A's, who were playing against the Boston Red Sox. And I walked down the field, and I was chewing tobacco at the time, which I wouldn't encourage anybody to do. But I looked at all the reporters, and all of a sudden I got so nervous I could hardly spit. So, you know, it's exciting times, and it's something that you have to get used to, and you have to pace yourself a little bit, because there's a lot of energy used up before you get to the game.
Phil Garner with us here on ESPN 97.5. I hosted Andy Pettitte. He's got a big golf tournament. And right after the series, Gar, I hosted his event, big dinner and everything else. And he said to that crowd that night, he said, if I had to go one more game, I think my arm would have fallen off. He said, I don't know what would have happened. He was so spent. And Roger, that you had a little bit, you had older guys that you had to really, really depend on. Now, it's a little different story here this year, but did you realize how spent he was and maybe how spent Roger was?
Well, I know that when you get down to the way the extended playoffs are now, you have wild cards and you go an extra round of playoffs. You know, players are really pushed to the max. Reggie Jackson said it years ago. He said, it's not a baseball season. It's an endurance contest. Well, it is. And then when you get through the first round, the second round, or the first round of wild card, the first round of the division series, and then the league series, you know, you have gone farther than you can imagine. And the other side of that equation is when you get down the last month of the season and you're in the pennant race for pitchers and position players, every pitch matters. So it's a grind the whole way. So when you get to the end, clearly you are spent and you're running on fumes. And I think everybody would tell you that. Yeah, you have this adrenaline rush, but for the guys that have been through there a couple of times, that adrenaline rush is not what it used to be. So I knew that the guys had gone as far as they could go, but that's the one reason you like experience when you get down to those situations, because they know how to get through it.
Phil Garner hanging out with us on ESPN 97.5. Allison Footer just tweeted this, that in 2005, you asked the person who opens and closes the roof to pretend it's broken and go on vacation and that you'd pay for it. Is that true?
That is a true story. Major League, what I found out very quickly is that the commissioner's office will let you know in in no uncertain terms that if the World Series is not, it didn't have anything to do with the two teams. It's owned by the commissioner's office. And so they wanted the roof open, and by George, it was going to be open. And I tried to talk Drayton into apparently we only had one guy that could open and close the roof. I told him to go ahead and close it and send him on vacation. I'd pay for it, because with the roof closed, it's the noisiest, wildest place on the planet.
So that sucks. I wonder what they're, I wonder if they're going to do that again this year.
Well, it'll be controlled by the commissioner's office. They'll determine what they want to do. And we had a protocol, you know, if it was a certain temperature outside, we closed the roofs. And certain conditions, we closed the roofs. So it wasn't like we were going to do anything that was out of the norm. But they wanted it open. And that's the way it was.
Yeah, well, that sucks, because you know what? You should be able to decide, because it is. It's a much better. I mean, I hope it rains. I know we don't need any more rain, but I hope it rains every day that they're here, so that roof can stay closed. Phil Garner with us here on ESPN 97.5. Garner, what would you do right now? I mean, you talk about the pressure situations. Verlander going 9 and then coming back with 7, scoreless, was unbelievable. And how much different that is in June, and how much different that is in the postseason, and how spent he must be right now. What would you do, though, if you're A.J. Hinch with this bullpen and guys being so, I don't want to say unreliable, but they're not the same guys that they were, especially early in the season.
Well, certainly you saw that happen in Game 7. I have to give kudos for AJ. It took a lot of more courage than you might think, because you tend to go with what's worked for the majority of the season. And even though your bullpen struggled, certainly down the stretch a little bit, going with the young guy McCullers out of the pen and then staying with him. And I actually thought, in the eighth inning, when he throws 4 straight balls to the leadoff hitter, I think it was Sanchez, he missed his spots quite a bit. A lot of managers would have gone to the bullpen, and he stayed with him, and then of course McCullers got it back and went on to close out in really a good fashion, a solid fashion. So I think AJ made a great call. Of course, Morton pitched a terrific ball game. I know that the Yankees were complaining early in the game, and I'm not sure why, because I was at the game. I couldn't, and I was sitting right behind home plate. So it looked to me like Morton was making really, really good pitches. So I don't know what the complaints were, but nonetheless, brilliant job by Morton, and a great move to get McCullers in when he did, and it turned out to be the absolute right move.
Yeah,
and now going forward, I think you might see he'll have to use his bullpen. He's going to have to go to it, and for the life of me, I don't know how you mix and match it.
Yeah, the complaint from the Yankees was with Morton, after every pitch, he was going to his mouth and
bubble
touching
gum.
His bubble gum. So they were thinking he was getting a little tackiness on his finger. But, you know, Smoltz even talked about it. He said, nah, it's really not going to do anything. But he did stop after that. So that was the complaint, was the bubble gum.
Yeah. Well, okay, if that works, it works.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it doing anything, but...
What would you, okay, so how do you measure, he's got all of the trust in the world, and he has all season in Keuchel, obviously, and he did in McCullers early on. Now it's Verlander. I'm not going to even, he doesn't even go up to him and say, you know, Verlander was going out there for the 9th inning in game 2 no matter what. But the other guys, he doesn't, it seems like, you know, it doesn't matter if they start to get in trouble, he's going to yank them. How do you measure that as a manager?
Well, you look at body language. When most pitchers, when they when they're comfortable or they're in a good rhythm, you'll see it. You'll see that they have a certain pace they're working with. They take their signs and they get moving. When they get out of that rhythm, and you learn that guys like Verlander can get out of the rhythm, and he may give up 1 or 2 runs. He doesn't give up 5 or 6 is a general rule. Same thing with Keuchel. So you learn the threshold with certain players because of that. The second thing is you start looking at location, and that's what worried me about McCullers. all of a sudden he couldn't get his location. He had four balls that weren't even close to where he was trying to hit his spot. So that's what worried me about that. But he went back to his curveball, which is what his game plan was, and he was brilliant with throwing it over the plate. So you start watching guys like that. Sometimes velocity drops off, but in these games I don't think you'll necessarily see a velocity tail off. He's going to be watching location and body language more than anything. And then, you know, he's got his past history to draw on. He knows that when some guys get in trouble, they have a hard time getting out of trouble without giving up three or four runs. And in these games, three or four runs can be a death sentence because you're looking at it. A great bullpen from the Dodgers. You don't want to get down three or four runs. It'd be hard to catch up.
Absolutely. All right, tomorrow, first pitch, 7:08 p.m. right here. The World Series presented by YouTube TV.